Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuftet Vovam and Aleph, three lines down. Lema Misayilit. Let us say that the following Braita from Torat Kohanim is a proof to Rav Chilkiah. Remember yesterday, Rav Chilkiah tried to establish that Amar Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi Lo Shanu El Lishmo. That what it says in our Mishnah when we're speaking about the Asham and the Chatat, that they were problematic when it is Mechusar Zman, that's only if they're done Lishmo. L'shem Chatat and L'shem Hashem. Because over there, they're not qualified to be brought. You have someone who's not ready yet to bring those korbanot. They're not obligated in those korbanot. And these aren't korbanot that can be brought on a voluntary basis. Unlike the Olah Shlamim, which is done Mechusar Zman, you still can bring them because they can be voluntary offering. Therefore, if you bring them Bechutz, you're going to be Chayav. Because if you brought them Bifnim, they'd be Kasher. By the Chatat V'Hashem, if you bring them bifnim, they are meaningless. They are pasul. If that's the case, when you do them bachutz, you're patur. So what Rav Chilkiah introduced is, that's only true if you bring them l'shem chatat and l'shem asham. Because that's why they're problematic korbanot. Because then they are a chatat and asham, which are not qualified to be brought at that time. But, aval shalodishmo, if you did it shalodishmo, now again here, you have to bifurcate the din. At this point, we think that chatat shalodishmo is psula. So that can't be what we're speaking about. We're speaking about the lodishmo by asham ends up being whatever korban that you designated for. But then, it's no longer a problem. Because you said before, the issue of the asham was that you weren't qualified to bring an asham. Therefore, you do it by chutz, you are patur. Now, when you do an asham shelo lishmo, it's actually a kosher korban. If you have a kosher korban bifnim, then bachutz you're going to be chayav. That's what Rav Chilkiah Sebar Tuvi says, if you do it, aval shelo lishmo, chayav. Overoi, shelo lishmo bifnim. Because had you brought it shelo lishmo bifnim, it would have been fine. That was the principle of Rav Chilkiah. And then that was challenged by Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, can you ever have something where, if it's done lishmo, it is pasul, and you do it shelo lishmo, it is kasher. Gemara yesterday, we finished off with tried to bring the case of Korban Pesach, where it's brought lishmo, b'shari mot ha'shana is pasul. But if you do it shelo lishmo, it is kasher. Gemara says that's not a good example, that's not a good proof, because Pesach b'shari mot ha'shana is a shlamim. And therefore there really isn't a case of lishmo and shelo lishmo. Lishmo, l'shem Pesach, is that you're actually oker l'shem shlamim from it. But if you do nothing, it is a shlamim already, and therefore you can't bring that as the example. Now the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, let us say we can support Rav Chilkiah from the following Braita Torat Kohanim. So the Braita begins, El Petach Umoed Oivio, which is the pasuk that dictates here that only things that are Ro'oi Lavo Petach Umoed are subject to the Chiyuv of Shchutei Chutz. And now the Braita continues, Yechol Shani Mutzei Af Ola Mechusar Zman Bebalim. I would also then think to exclude from El Petach Umoed Oivio. Now, exclude here means exclude from the chiyuv of halah b'chutz. You would not be chayav if you put a korban like this outside. In a case where it's mechusar zman b'ba'alim, the ba'alim have some time frame in which they are not ready to bring this korban. V'asham nazir, v'asham mitzora. Similarly, an asham nazir and an asham mitzora, seemingly that they have some sort of psul associated with them. And then, Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk tells us that that's not the case, because the Pasuk says at the beginning of the Parshiyah, with the guards do shchut echutz and halav echutz, it says, ish ish mipet Yisrael, asher yishchat shor, o kesef, o eiz b'machane, o asher yishchat michutz b'machane. So here you have the words, shor, kesef, and eiz, which are not necessary. You would have known the din if you didn't specify the animals in that instance. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Talmud Lomar, shor mikomakom, kesef mikomakom, eiz mikomakom. All of those words that are extraneous in the pasuk come to teach you that it's a riboy. That no matter what a shor is chayav, no matter what a kesef is chayav, no matter what an eiz is chayav. So because of that, we're going to say, despite the fact that you have an ola that is mechusar zman bebalim, and you have an asham nazir and an asham mitzora that have some psul associated with them, which makes it sound like that none of this would be accepted bifnim. Nevertheless, when you do them b'chutz, you are going to be chayav. V'ilu chatat shayro. But chatat was left out of this braita. Why is it only speaking about olot and hashamot? Why isn't it speaking about a chatat? That seems to imply that there's a distinction between the hashamot here and a chatat, and that leads us to believe that this likely is supportive of Rav Chilkiah's distinction within chatat and hasham. So the Gemara says, "B'may askinan." What exactly is the scenario here in this braita? Ilema bizmano. If it's a time period, meaning that it is reached the time period in which you're supposed to bring this korban, my iria asham. Then why is it only by asham that you're chayav b'chutz? Afilu chatat nami. Even a chatat b'chutz would be problematic, because here a chatat bifnim would have been kasher. Now a chatat b'chutz would also be chayav. Ella, so it can't be talking about a case of zmano, because Mano would have included in this list not only the Ola and the Asham, but even the Chatat, Elish Lod Bizmano. So it must be, it's a time period when you're not supposed to bring it, meaning that you're short of the time period in which you're supposed to bring it. So now once you have Shalom Bizmano, Bemai, what's the case here? Ilein Lemishmo, if you do it, Lishem that Korban, Asham Amai Chayav. Then why are you Chayav by an Asham? An Asham Lishmo, when it's Mechusar Zman, is Pasol. And if it's Pasol, then you can't be Chayav Bachutz. Elalav, the scenario here in this Breita must be, Shalom Lishmo. It's a case where Shalom Lishmo. So here you have a case which is, Shalom Bizmano and Shalom Lishmo. Shalom Bizmano, Shalom Lishmo is exactly the case that Rav Chilkiya was suggesting you're going to be chayav for. You have a case where it's not yet reached the time period in which you're chayav to bring this korban. And if you did bring this korban bifinim, it'd be pasul. Nevertheless, when you do bachutz, you are chayav. That's exactly what Rav Chilkiya says. When you do it Shalom Lishmo bachutz, you are chayav, because if you did Shalom Lishmo bifinim, it would also be mitkabel. And because of that, it should be chayav bachutz, and this would be supportive of that view of Chilkiya, where it says, le'olam bizmano v'shlo lishmo. This is the girsa of Rashi. You can look in Rashi. Rashi toys with what the other girsa oat were, but the girsa that he favors and the girsa that we have in our Gemara now is, le'olam bizmano, it actually is in the time period when the korbanot were supposed to be brought, v'shlo lishmo. And it was done Shalom Lishmo. So now, if it's brought Bizmano, why shouldn't you be Chayav Bachutz? Why shouldn't you be Chayav for bringing a Korban Bachutz that's accepted Bifnim? The answer is it was Shalom Lishmo. Now, Shalom Lishmo is helpful with regards to the Chatat, because the Chatat Shalom Lishmo is Psula. But an Asham Shalom Lishmo is Kasher. If that's the case, why aren't you Chayav when you Male Bachutz? Rabbi Eliezer, it's according to Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Lezer, if you remember from the first mission in the Masechta, Damar, Makshina Nasham Lechatat. He says that an Asham is similar to a Chatat, just like a Chatat is Mechaperet, so too an Asham is Mechaper, and so they should have the same din. Just like a Chatat is Psula Shlo Lishma, so too an Asham should be Pasul Shlo Lishmo. Betana Tafel, and the Tana brought the secondary item, Vuadin Ikar. And then it would be obvious, or it would be clear, that it have application to the Ikar. If I tell you an Asham is problematic, and you would have thought you're not Chayav, and in the end you are Chayav, then certainly the Chatat, which is the core item, where if you do it Shalom Lishma, it's going to be problematic, then certainly you're going to be Chayav Bachutz. So now, right, the way we're explaining now creates a somewhat of a problem for us, which is, we're saying that it happened Bizmano. Bizmano, clearly an Onah Shlamim are good Korbanot, and if you do them Bachutz, you're going to be Chayav. When you do Bizmano, a Chatat and Hashem are also good Korbanot. They're supposed to be brought at that time. They are qualified Korbanot. If they're good Bifnim, then you're going to be Chayav Bachutz. I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that. That's straightforward stuff. So it must be that there's something wrong here, and that which is wrong is Shalom Lishmo, that they were doing Shalom Lishmo. Now, generally, Shalom Lishmo is only an impactful machshava with regards to Chatat. There it's easy. Shalom Lishmo b'Chatat tells you that the Chatat is Psula. Now, if it's Psula Bifnim, I would have thought it's Pasul Bachutz, or not Chayav Bachutz. That's what the Pasul comes to teach me, despite the fact that it is Psula Bifnim, you're still Chayav for Halah Bachutz. But that takes care of the Chatat. What about the Asham? That's where the Gemara introduces Rabbi Eliezer and says, Rabbi Eliezer thinks an Asham and a Chatat work in the same way. Just like a Chatat is Pasul Psula Shlo Lishma, so too an Asham is Pasul Shlo Lishmo. So now once I've gotten that down, now Hashem has the same thing. And Hashem, Bifnim, Shalom Lishmo, is Pasul, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And that means, Bachutz, you should have been Patur. Along comes the Pasuk and says, you are Chayav. So now, that we've explained the Braita, and avoided it being a proof to Rav Chilkiya, by explaining it in a case of Bizmano, and Shalom Lishmo. The original Havamina was to explain it as a case of Shalom Bizmano, Shalom Lishmo, and that would be exactly the case Rav Chilkiya noted, and then the Braita would have been supportive of Rav Chilkiya. And a question or a problem for Rav Huna. The Gemara says you don't have to explain it that way. You can explain it as a case of Bizmano, but Shalom Lishmo. Then that would not be a proof to Rav Chilkiya anymore. But now we have to try to understand why that is, and Rashi gives us the explanation. Dafilu achi mechayev ala b'chutz. Why are you chayev b'chutz if it's not kasher bifnim? Afa gav da karmine shem Hashem. Even though when you do it, Shalom Lishem Hashem bifnim, it would have been pasul, it would have been problematic, yet you're still chayev b'chutz. Why? What happens to that correlation between what's ra'oi bifnim is chayav bachutz? It says, iakati ava mayole lifnim. Had he brought this as a korban bifnim, ava kasher lemishkatei stama. Had he done nothing, had no thought, and just shechted it bifnim, it would have been kasher, l'shem Hashem. It would have worked. And v'olah l'shem chuvah. and it would have worked and discharged your obligation. Demishum dibure lo mi'aker shmemine. Your simple words are not going to change the status of the animal. Chokama dolo shachtale, until you do a shchita bi'akirat shemo. The shchita is done in a way that takes away what the original intent of the korban is. Remember, I'm talking about a korban hasham here. So if you do shchita where you have in mind to make it into an olah, that is shchita b'akira. And as long as you don't do that shchita, stama lishmo. The default status of the animal is lishmo. So what Rashi points out is that you actually don't change the animal over to lo lishmo, except at that exact moment when you're in violation of Allah b'chutz. So the animal, had you had no machshava whatsoever, you would have been chayav for it. Because it would have been kasher bifnim, because stam would have been kasher. Because the stam hasham and the stam chatat, when they are brought at a time period when you are chayav, then the default is that you will bring them lishmo, and they're considered lishmo, and therefore they are good korbanot bifnim. That means you're going to be chayav bachutz, because the fact that it's accepted bifnim, and you'll be chayav bachutz. Once you introduce shelo lishmo, and you created a problem, which is it's not kosher bifnim, yet we're saying you're chayav bachutz. And what Rashi points out is that, as long as you have the korban, the animal's still alive, even if you say from here till tomorrow, I don't want it to be an asham, I want it to be an olah, that's not going to change anything. It will remain an asham. You could say that over and over and over again, and they say, ah, you know what, doesn't matter, and then you shecht it, you'll have no impact on it. Because it only is impactful when you take an action based on that dibur. That's what Rashi says, until the moment of shechita, there is no akira. At the moment of shechita, there is akira. So now, until this moment, this animal was stam, in asham, stam achatat, and it would have been brought bifnim, it would have been kasher. Now you shecht the bachutz, now you do the Allah bachutz. At that moment that you do the shechita bachutz, that's when you are violating Allah bachutz. And at that same moment, you think to do it shelo lishmo. You think to do it, lo l'shem, that korban. So yes, it would have made it pasul bifnim, but the machshava that you had to make it pasul bifnim happens simultaneously with the point of time that you're already chayav for shechita bachutz. And therefore, it's, in a sense, too late to make it into shelo lishmo, because until that moment, it was ra'oi lavolu petach ol moed. Only at the moment of shechita did it change. At the moment of shechita, you're already in violation. And that's what Rashi fills off here. Hilkach, ki shachid le ra'oi lifnim, lishmo. The moment you shecht it was still ra'oi to be done bifnim, l'shem that korban. V'u'adin, dechatat shelo lishmo. Rashi over here says that's not only true by an asham, it's also true by a chatat. So here you're going to have a case where a chatat shelo lishma, you're going to be chayav b'chutz. Ela tana tafel, asham, which is the secondary item. And once I tell you the din by the secondary item, you can clearly extrapolate that to the primary item, which is the chatat. So that's the solution that we bring to the b'raita. So then the Gemara says, tashma. Now, the language that we have in our Gemara, Rashi says that that was a mistake that was entered into the text of the Gemara by the Gersanim, the people who put the Gersaot together. It says the mistake derived from the fact that this Braita was brought second after the previous Braita. But it says if you go look at Torat Kohanim, this is actually the beginning of the Braita, and then the other part is the Seif of the Braita. And therefore he says, Yechol she'ani mirabeh should not be the opening phrase over here. Yechol she'ani mirabeh is when you're continuing from a previous statement of the Gemara. And that's what you have. You have a Braita beforehand, and now he says, these Gersanim made a mistake and thought this was actually the Seifa of the Braita. So there they open up this language of Yechol. I would have think Shani Mirabeh. I would have included these items. You'd only say something like that if you had some background beforehand that had included other items. And now you're saying, I would also include these items. But the Braita, the way it's set up in Torat Kohanim, is just the opposite way around. It's something that was excluded beforehand. So Rashi says that Girsa is improper. It's done mistakenly because people thought it was the continuation of the previous Braita. But in reality, that what we're quoting now is actually the Reisha of the previous Braita. And therefore Rashi says, it shouldn't have opened like that, but rather it should be Torat Kohanim Achitanyala. This is what it says in Torat Kohanim. Otsi et elu she'en miuchadim l'shem. I would leave these out because they're not miuchad l'shem Hashem. V'lo otsi olah mechusar et zman begufa v'chatat ben begufa ben bebalim. Meaning that's the beginning of the bright. The bright just sort of started out. It's a continuation of something that came before, which is about the limit of l'shem, and then it continues on. So he says that it should start out. I would have thought that we would have excluded these things, she'em miyuchadim la'Hashem, because they're not dedicated to Hashem. They are kochei berakabayit v'chulei. Ve'lo utzi. And I would not have excluded the case of an olah mechuseret zman begufa, an ulah that has yet to reach the period of time where it is ra'uy lemizbeach, or a chatat, whether that mechuser zman is in the animal itself or in the baalim, because those are miyuchadim lashem, they're just mechuser zman. So I would have thought to include those. If you're malelem bachutz, you would be chayav. And then along comes the bright that says, yes, you should exclude them. So now, whether you use the language of, I would have said that these are different, or now I'm saying that I should include them. So including them means I should include them in the chiyuv of ala bachutz. So, shechol shanim rabbe, ola, mechuser zman, begufa, an ola that is missing time, it's before the period you can bring it as a korban, which for instance is a case where the animal is less than 8 days old, so it's not qualified to go on the mizbeach yet. Chatat ben begufa ben bebalim. There's some sort of deficit in the chatat, either begufa, it's not old enough to be brought as a korban, or ben bebalim. The balim are not yet ready, or not necessarily obligated to bring a chatat at that moment. For Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, ve'el petach umoid, ko she'in ra'ui lavo bepetach umoid. Only things that are not ra'ui to come to umoid. Ein chayvin aleim, then you're not chayav b'chutz for them. Since these items are not ra'ui to come ve'umoid, olah mechuser zman ve'gufa, and a chatat ben begufa ben balim is disqualified off the bat because it's too young. That's true by an olah, it's true by a chatat. And by a chatat, in addition to that, you can have someone who's not obligated by the olah. Even if the person's not obligated, you can bring it as a voluntary off. That's not true by the chatat. So you would have thought maybe you should be chayav bachutz for these items. Talmud Lomar, that has to be something that you can bring a petach homoid. And these aren't things that can come be petach homoid. So, kosh ein ro'i lavo petach homoid, ein chayvin alim. And these aren't things that can be brought, and therefore you're not going to be chayav. Vilu asham shaira. Out of this list, it only has an ola, chatat, and no asham. But my iskinan, again, what's the scenario here? Ilem alishmo. If you say it was done lishmo, asham nami liftere. Then Hashem should also be patur, because if you did it lishmo, before the zman, that it's time to bring a korban Hashem, that's a problem for a chatat, it's a problem for Hashem. You're not chayav in these korbanot. If you bring them before you're chayav in them, then they are problematic. They are korbanot psulim. El alav shelo lishmo. Must be a scenario where you did it shelo l'shem, that korban. Now if you didn't do it l'shem, that korban, so now by a chatat, it's problematic, but by an Hashem, the Braita never says it's problematic. And that would be supportive again of Rav Chilkia, which is when you bring something shelo bizmano, shelo lishmo, you are a chayav, because that's what's going to be the case by the Hashem. By the chatat, we would say no, because the chatat is psula when you do it shelo lishmo. So the olam shelo lishmo. Now the case here is it's shelo lishmo. If it's shelo lishmo, why are you only speaking about a chatat, not an Hashem? Rashi, you can see that in the Shittu Mekubetzet. Okay, eliminates the gears of olam shelo lishmo. He also eliminated the girsa of Lolam Lishmo, which was an alternate girsa, because the Gemara already is saying that it's Lolishmo. So you don't need to say the Olam Lolishmo. And therefore he eliminates it completely from the girsa. The Gemara just continues and says it's not a problem, this Lolishmo, Rav Huna, because he'll just explain that it is Rabbi Eliezer. And that way the Gemara's answer begins with Rabbi Eliezer. It is Shalolishmo, and it's authored by Rabbi Eliezer, the Mekisha Sham the Chatat. Again, that brings this hekesh between Chatat Basham, Tana Ikar, Makoshkin the Tafel. It brought the primary case down, which is chatat, and the same thing would true by the tafel, Hashem as well. So then, in that way, we've again deflected the possibility of the Braita being a proof to Rav Chilkia. You would have thought up front that it was a proof to Rav Chilkia, because the scenario here would be a case of shelo bizmano, shelo lishmo, and we're saying that a chatat is problematic, but we're not saying that an Hashem is problematic, indicating that if you did an Hashem shelo lishmo, it would have been kasher. My answer is that you don't have to explain the Braita that way. It could be that it's shelo lishmo, but it's according to Rabbi Eliezer. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, Hasham and Chatat have no different din. So then, why didn't it mention Hasham? Because Chatat covers it. Once I know the din by Chatat, I'd also know that din by an Hasham. Now, as Rashi points out over here, this kol shekein is a dochak, because you wouldn't necessarily say a kol shekein from Chatat to Hasham, because Chatat is the primary case where lo lishma is problematic. And Rabbi Eliezer compares Hasham to Chatat. So it really isn't a kol shekein. It is a derivative, but not necessarily a logical extension. And Rashi says that Rav Huna is forced to do that because he has to set up the Braita here to Rabbi Eliezer. That's because in the previous Braita that we brought, which is the Seifa of this Braita in Torah Kohanim, we already established that it had to be authored by Rabbi Eliezer. And even though for Rav Huna it would be true of the Chachamim as well, the Chachamim would say it's Pasul here as well because of Rav Huna's principle that you can't have something that is lishmo pasul. Shelo lishmo will be chayav, and so that would have worked even for the Chachamim within Hasham or Chatat. He can't do that because the other part of the Braita is already authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Because if it was the Chachamim that authored it, not only would that be problematic with the fact that we just said the other part of the Braita is Rabbi Eliezer, but also the fact that for the Chachamim, the bigger Kiddush would be tell us about Hashem. Chatai would be psula because it's lo lishma. The Hashem would be pasul because of this principle of Rabbi Huna, which is something that's lishmo bifnim, is pasul, can't be chayav for lo lishma b'chutz. And that would have been the bigger Kiddush, and he should have mentioned Hashem and not Chatai. So now, he has to say it's Rabbi Eliezer, and then once it's Rabbi Eliezer, he's forced to say that it's kosher came from Chatat to Hashem to explain the absence of Hashem over here. So Rashi just says that Rav Huna is in a corner, and that's why he answers this way, in order to avoid this right of being supportive of Rav Chilkiah's position. Tashma. So now we have another braita that seemingly is a proof to Rav Chilkiah. Tchiyato Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael, Ata Tana de Beit Bar Levi. He brought a braita from Beit Bar Levi. You would have thought to exclude an Ola that is Mechusar Zman Bibalim, Hashem Nazir Hashem Mitzora, and an Hashem Nazir Hashem Mitzora Minayin. How do I know this is true? There was some limud that taught me, even though it sounds like it shouldn't be, in the end you are Chayav Ala B'chutz. And I don't know what was the limud that taught that despite the fact that you are mechusar zman bifnim and pasul bifnim, that you still be kasher b'chutz. Amar Ravina, shor mikomakom, kesef mikomakom, eiz mikomakom. Exactly the drasha that we brought above. And now this that Rav Dimi brought looks exactly like the braita that we brought in the first place on today's daf. So, hi my rumia. So Gemara says, okay, so you have now something that looks identical to the first braita. Why is that a question on Rav Huna? And why is that a proof to Rav Chilkiah? Kidamart. Why don't you answer the same way you answered the braita before? The right before we answered was a scenario in the end, which we suggested was a case, bismano. It was at the time that it was kasher, and you did it shalo lishmo. And despite the fact that you did it shalo lishmo, which should have been pasul, both for Hashem and for a chatat, nevertheless, if you do Allah b'chutz, you are going to be chayav, and that's the riboy over here. But then, that's not a proof to Rav Chilkiah, because it's not a scenario of shalo bismano, shalo lishmo. So you could have answered this same Braita Braber Evdimi, the Braita of the Bay Bar Levi, the same way we answered the first Braita from Torat Konin that we brought down. My answer is, Amar Rav Nachman Mishum, the Rami, the Tana Bay Bar Levi, Ad the Tani Levi. That's because that Braita of Tani de Bar Levi is a stira with another Braita from Levi. Hashem Nazir, Vashem Mitzora, Sheshachtan Shalol Ishman. There's an Hashem Nazir and Hashem Mitzora that was shechted Shalol Ishman, which technically should be fine because an Hashem Shalol Ishma is fine. Kshirim. So therefore they are kasher. Lo alu lebalim shum chova. But even though they're kasher, they're not ole lebalim. Again, the first mission in the Masechta, when you do something Shalol Ishma, it is kasher, but lo alu lebalim. Shachatan mechusar zman bebalim. You shechted them before you are chayav in that korban. Or they had aged out already, and they were 2 years old. The asham that's brought by the nazir and the mitzvah is an exception to the ashamot. Generally, the ashamot require ayo. That has to be worth steak kesef. The one that's the exception is the asham nazir and asham mitzvah, where there you only required a keves. So it has to be 1 year old. The shachatan, and you shech them, they are all psulin. So now, if they are psulin, then the derivative of that is means that you are patur mi bachutz. So that means now that the Tana de Levi over here indicates that these items that we're mentioning here, the Hashem Nazir, the Hashem Mitzorah, Mechusar Zman Bebalim. So here you have a case of Mechusar Zman. It's saying that you shech them, they are psulim. And the patur mi bachutz. So Rav Dimi sees a stira here between Tana de Bar Levi and Tana de Levi. He thinks they're both speaking about Mechusar Zman. And despite the fact, they're coming to opposite conclusions. Tana de Bar Levi is telling you that in that scenario you're chayav b'chutz from the riboy of the pasuk from Ravina. On the other hand, Tana de Levi is telling you that that is pasul bifnim and therefore it's patur b'chutz. So how do I reconcile between the different conclusions with regards to halav b'chutz if I'm speaking about the same scenario of mechusar zman? Mishani Rav Dimi lo kasha. That's not a problem. Kan lishmo, kan shelo lishmo. The way to resolve the Tana de Bar Levi and the Tana de Levi is through whether you consider the case to be lishmo or shalo lishmo. And that is, the case where we say you're chayav, bachutz, is the case of shalo lishmo. Because it will be a kosher korban bifnim, and therefore it will be a chiyuv hala bachutz. Other case where we say that it's pasul bifnim, which means that you're going to be patur bachutz, that's the case of sheshachtan lishman. And since you brought them lishman, but mechusar zman, they are psulim. And once they're psulim, then you're not going to be chayav for a challah b'chutz. So the fact that Rav Dimi sees the Tana de Bar Levi and Tana de Levi as being a stira to each other, that means that he believes that both cases are scenarios where shelo bizmano. And therefore his only solution to the problem is to say that Tana de Bar Levi that says you are patur v'allah b'chutz, is it a case when you did it lishmo? And the case by Tana de Bar Levi that says you are chayav for allah b'chutz must be a case of shelo lishmo. That's the classic case of Rav Chilkia, which is shelo bizmano, shelo lishmo. By the fact that if you did it lishmo, you would be patur, and it would be pasul bifnim. Nevertheless, when you do it shelo lishmo, you're going to be chayav for Allah b'chutz, and it would be kasher bifnim, and you'd be chayav for Allah b'chutz. But then that negates the possibility of explaining the bright of Bar Levi the way that we explain the bright of Mtorat Kohanim before. Because before we answer on behalf of Rav Huna to say it was a case of bizmano, shelo lishmo. But Rav Dimi makes it clear that he thinks that the case in Bar Levi is a case of shelo bizmano. Once you have that, it's a strong proof for Rav Chilkia and a negation of the view of Rav Huna. Rav Ashi Rami Matnita na Braito. Rav Ashi, instead of bringing the Tana de Bar Levi and the Tana de Levi, brought it up as a steerer between our Mishnah and the Braito. Braito that we saw at the beginning of today's daf. And our Mishnah that says that if you are patur in a case of Mechusar Zman for an Hashem and Chatat, that's brought b'chutz. And the Braita that says that you are Chayav Allah B'chutz, which we already indicated at the beginning of today's daf, has to be a case of Mechusar Zman, because if it was a case that was Shiv Zmano, then even in Bar Chatat you should be Chayav. So now you have a stira between our Mishnah that says by Mechusar Zman B'chutz you are Patur, and the Braita that seems to indicate by Mechusar Zman B'chutz that you are Chayav. What's the difference between them? Mishani, Kan Lishmo, Kan Shelo Lishmo. Depends how you do it. If you do it Lishmo in our Mishnah, that's why you are patur, because you did something wrong bifnim, or it would have been pasum bifnim. So then we do the Allah b'chutz, you are patur. The case of the braita that says you are chayav for Allah b'chutz, that's because you did it shelo lishmo. And shelo lishmo bifnim, it would have been accepted. And since shelo lishmo bifnim, except if you do b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. So again, that's very supportive of Chilkia, that understanding. So therefore, lema tavit yuftei de Rav Huna. So then why not, if it's such a strong proof to Rav Chilkia's position, it should also be a strong refutation to Rav Huna's position. Amar lecha Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to answer and say, "Acha b'mayaskinan." What's the scenario here? Kagon shifrish tei hashamot achrayut. It's not your classic case of an asham where it was brought and now you're dealing with it pre the time that it should have been brought and whether it's lishmo or shelo lishmo, but rather it's a case of shtei hashamot. It's a case where you brought two hashamot on the outset. You did it because you're afraid you might lose one of them. One of them might get lost. T'chami nayu mikara olahi. Because by definition, one of those two will be an Ola. Kedir Rav Huna Marav, similar to what we saw in Rav Huna Rav Rav back on Kuf Yud Bet. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Hashem Shinitak Duriya. An Hashem that was, according to Rashi, is Shinitak Midin Hakrava. It's no longer Ra'oi to brought the Mizbeach. Umasrua L'Ro'eh Shistayv. Then you give it over to the Ro'eh until it gets a mum in it. That Netika Ru'eh takes it away from being an Hashem. And from here to forward, it's going to be classified as Ola. So therefore, v'shachato stam, if you shech that animal stam, after you've done the nitak l'riya, kasher l'ola. It is kasher l'ola, because, in essence, that's what an asham is. You're going to monetize that asham when it gets a mum in it, and then you use the proceeds to bring it as an ola. So it, inherently, in a sense, is an ola, and therefore, if you do b'diavad, bring it and put it on the mizbeach, we're going to classify it as an ola, because you've already removed the shame asham from it. What we're suggesting on behalf of Rav Huna is that once you have shtei hashamot achrayut, then you can explain the phenomenon as to why you're chayav b'chutz, even though you're doing it shelo lishmo. And that is because one of the animals is automatically an ola, and you just don't know which one. But either one of them is ra'oi to be this ola. And so, therefore, the reason you are chayav here b'mechusar zman is not because of shelo lishmo, but because of the fact that this animal, from its outset, was already dedicated to turn into an Ola. And that is because you can't bring two Hashemot. Only one of them would have been brought as an Hashem. The other one would then be designated to be set out to pasture, get a mum, and then be monetized as an Ola. And we learned already that if it's Mitak the Re'iyah, that already makes it into Ra'oi to be an Ola itself on the Mizbeach. And even though over here you had no Akira, the fact that there was already two animals, by definition, indicates that the other animal is as if it was Ne'akar, since its end game is Stame Levnei Aker. And therefore, each of these animals up front has the possibility of being Kasher Bifnim as an Ola. Therefore, if you shechted it shelo lishma as an olah b'chutz, you're going to be chayav, just like it would be chayav bifnim. And then that does not undermine Ravuna's principle. Right, so now the Gemara continues, and it says, Amaleh ben basar chatat. Next part of the Mishnah says, if you put on the outside, maleh b'chutz, anything that was supposed to be consumed in the Azara, or consumed by the Baalim, not going on the Mizbeach, if you do that b'chutz, you are patur. Tamar Rabbanan, minayin in the male basar chatat, umi basar Hashem, umi basar kutshi kodashim, umi basar kutshim kalim, umi tohar omer, shtei lechem, lechem upanim, sherei minachot, that all these are items that are eaten by the Kohanim, with the exception of kutshim kalim, which are eaten by the Baalim and the Kohanim. So how do I know that if you put on a mizbeach, the basar of a chatat, the basar of an Hashem, which are lezichrei kuna, to be eaten in the Azara, the basar kutshi kodashim, there's only one of their kutshi kodashim that's left, and that's kiptzei atzeret, Umi basar kochim kalim, or the basar of the kochim kalim, which belongs to the ba'alim, mutar omer, and the leftovers of the omer, ushtei lechem, the two lechem that come to kiftzei atzeret on Shavuot, lechem apanim, the showbreads that are on the shulchan all week long are taken off on Shabbat, v'sheirei aminachot, and any residual of any mincha, that's not a minchat kohen, then in that case, how do I know shepatur, that if you do it b'chutz, you are patur, tamalomar ola. Because the pasuk says, in order to be chayav, it's got to be like an olah. V'aleim tomar ish ish mibeit yisom miger asher yagur betucham, asher ya'ale olah o zavach. So olah o zavach are the example of items that are, have properties that you're going to be chayav for. So then we say, ma'olah she ru'uya lahala'a, just like an olah is ru'uya to be put on the mizbeach, of course ru'uya lahala'a. So too, everything else that you bring here has to be something that is ra'ur the mizbeach, and food is not ra'ur the mizbeach. Since it's not really the Mizbeach, you're not going to be chayav on it for halah b'chutz. Minayin, shafa yotzeik, va'bulel, va'putet, va'muleach, ve'minif, ve'migish, u'misader tashulchan, mitivet anerot, v'kumeitz, u'mekabel b'chutz, shepotur. I don't know if any of these avodot that are done, if you're doing b'chutz, you are potur, tamalomar. The reason we learn that is, asher yale ola uzavach. Mahala shi gmar avuda, avkol shehu gmar avuda. Just like ha'alah is something that is the end of a process, it's the completion of a process, so too, kol shu gemar avudah. Therefore, any avudah that you're going to be chayav for has to be avudah that is a completion of a process or a series of processes. And so therefore, all these items that we mention here have something that takes place after them. So if there's something that takes place after them, they're not classified as being gemar avudah. If you're not gemar avudah, you're not subject to halah b'chutz being chayav. Even though shechita, which is not classified as being gemar avudah, you are chayav for, because the pasuk itself says it explicitly that you're chayav for shechita b'chutz. So the pasuk tells you you're chayav for shechita b'chutz, despite the fact that it is a avudah that has an avudah after it. Had it not written in the pasuk, in Achanami, it would be no different than all of these others here, and you would not be chayav. Tosafot notes that this sugya over here seems to be in contradiction with the sugya we saw back on Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, that over there we said the reason that Mekabel Bechutz is Patur is because we have a riboy, a specific riboy for Zvikat Adam, even though it could have come from Etzad HaShaveh, which tells you that you can't invoke Etzad HaShaveh over here. So why do we need two different sources for this? The answer might lie in what the Griz says, which is that there's two different types or manifestations of Halah Bechutz. Or avodah b'chutz. There's avodah b'chutz is when you take an animal that should have been brought bifnim and you do it b'chutz. And then there's also avodot where you just do everything b'chutz. So now when it comes to doing everything b'chutz, which is our sugi over here, the item has to be defined as an avodah bifnim. And the only thing that's defined as an avodah bifnim is something that is a gemar avodah. On the other hand, when you're dealing with an animal that is kodesh bifnim and now you want to bring it out, over there, any form of avodah that you're doing on something that was kadosh and should have been done bifnim, as long as it's done bifnim, it's going to be problematic b'chutz. Unless you have a specific miyut, like you do back on Daf Kusayin Amud Bet. Ad shelo kama mishkan. So then the Mishnah says, before the Mishkan was put up, the Bechorot did the Avodah. At the time of the Mishkan, the Kohanim did the Avodah. So Yotiv Rav Huna, Bar Rav Katina. You can see here that both the Bach and the Shittim Mekubetze changed it to Rav Chano. We'll just keep it as Rav Huna, because both Tosafot and Rashi, in discussing this, use Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Kamei de Rav Chista. So it was Rav Huna was sitting before Rav Chista. Vekol Kari. And then he was reading. The way that Rashi has the girsa over here, you can see that he has an additional girsa there, which says, V'yotiv Rav Chista v'ka'amar. So that when Rav Huna was before Rav Chista went on to say, and that means that afterwards the response is going to be from Rav Huna. Then if you look at the Balei HaTosafot, he says, that Perish HaKunchis V'yotiv Rochis Devekamar V'nir L'Farish V'yotiv Kamar. It says V'yotiv Kamar without anything being added there. And the Yativ Kamar is referencing back to Rav Huna, who is the one that's sitting before Rav Chista. And if that's the case, then the Amar Lay later is Rav Chista responding to Rav Huna. Mikakari, and they brought the following pasuk, Vayishlach et Narei B'nei Yisrael. This is in Perek Chav Dalet Parshat Mishpatim with regards to the Kritut Abrit between B'nei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. And there it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayishlach et Narei B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Olot. And the understanding, and this is what Rashi implies here, is that there's something missing from the Gemara, and whatever it is that's missing is that Rav Chista, when he was saying this, would say, Umufaresh de'lo abechorot. When it says, Vayishlach et Narei B'nei Yisrael, the definition of Narei B'nei Yisrael are the Bechorim. So then, the response, according to Rashi, this is the response from Rav Huna, according to Tosafot, this is the response from Rav Chista. Hachi Amar Ravasi. Avasi says the following, Karvu Upasku, that they were Makriv, but then they were Posek. So Rashi brings two interpretations. The first of which is that Enoch and Ami the Bechorim were the ones doing the Korban, but that was their last time being engaged in the Avodah. From there to forward, Nadab and Avihu, the Kohanim, took over, and in that year between the Hakamata Mishkan and the Kritu Dabrit at Har Sinai, the Kohanim were already in service, and Nadab and Avihu were the ones doing the service until they died on the Yom HaShmini. Or the way that Rashi brings the second interpretation is, upaske, instead of the word pasku, which is that you should put in an etnacht on the pasuk. The way the pasuk reads now is, vayishlach et narei b'nei Yisrael, vayalu olot, there's the etnachta, vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim l'shem parim. But that means that the vayalu olot was done by vayishlach et narei b'nei Yisrael. That's defining who did vayalu olot. On the other hand, what he's suggesting here, according to Ravasi, is upaske. You should have the etnachta earlier in the pasuk. Vayishlach et narei b'nei Yisrael. Etnachta, stop there. Then, vayalu olot v'izbuchu zivchei shomim l'shem parim. So that the beginning of the pasuk is that Moshe sent the narei b'nei Yisrael. We don't have any definition what they did, but probably to bring the korbanot and to be the representatives of b'nei Yisrael in the korbanot. And then the second half of the pasuk is vayalu olot v'izbuchu zivchei shomim l'shem parim is that those that normally did it, I mean the kohanim, do the olot and the zivchei shlamim. Either way, it means that the service by the bechorim ended at this point in time. The third interpretation that's brought by the Balei Tosafot is that, yes, Rav Asi used to say, like you say, upasko, the chachamim stopped him from saying that. They said that he was incorrect in saying such a thing. Tosafot then says that the other two explanations of Rashi are ikar, but no matter which way you look at it, there's a problem, which is that our Mishnah says otherwise. Savar lo tevei mi matnitin. You wanted to ask from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Ad shukama Mishkan, that the Bechorim were in service until the Mishkan went into service. And that's on the eighth day, or maybe the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. But until that point in time, the Bechorim were the primary priests in the Mishkan. And that's even corroborated by the fact that we mentioned when we read the Mishnah, that the exchange of the Bechorim to the Kohanim happens in Parshat Balotcha, which is right after the Chanukat HaMishkan in Parshat Naso. But then he waited. He held himself in abeyance before asking the question of the Mishnah, because Shemid the Kamar, Mishmid the Rav Adar Bahavo, because then he heard something else that he was saying. Again, here, according to Rashi, it's Rav Huna is making these comments, and according to the Balei Tosafot, it's Rav Chista who's making these comments. He heard Shemid the Kamar, Mishmid the Rav Adar Bahavo, that he was saying over the name of Rav Adar Bahavo, Ola she krivu Yisrael b'midbar. The Ola that Bnei Yisrael brought in the Midbar, Eina tu'una evshei b'nituach, is not subject to the rules of flaying and quartering it, which is part of the processing of the olah to put those parts on the mizbeach. That wasn't the case when they brought olot in the midbar. So then, otvei braita. Instead, he then asks the question from a braita. According to Rashi, it's Rav Chista that's bringing this braita to refute both what Rav Huna brought in the name of Rav Adar Bahavo, as well as in the name of Rav Asi. And then, according to the Balei Tosafot, it's the other way around. It's Rav Huna who's bringing this braita to refute. Rav Chista's bringing up both the memory of Rav Asi, as well as that the Bechorim was changed over to the Kohanim at Har Sinai, and the member of Rav Adar Bahavo, that there was no Hefshed Menituach in the Olot HaMidbar. The Shavya Bekulu, because that has the ability to ask the question on both of the memorot that were brought over here. Both the fact that Benarei B'nei Yisrael was the Bechorim, and that was the end, and they didn't serve after that. And number two is that there was no Hefshed Menituach for the Olot HaMidbar. Titania, because the Baraita says, Ajlu Kama Mishkan, Abamot Mutarot, Vavudabe Bechorot. So here again, this is similar to our Mishnah, that until the Mishkan went into service, the Bamot, the Korbanot could be run on private Bamot, and Avodah was done by the Bechorot. Vakok Sherim Lakriv. And anything could go on the Mizbeach, mean on a Bamat Yachid, any type of animal can go on there. Behema Chaya Ve'of. So it doesn't matter if it's an animal, a wild animal, or a bird. Zicharim and ikevot, gender is not meaningful. It could be male or female. Tzmimim ubali mumim, that could be something that is whole or even if it has a blemish in it. Tehorim. Now there is one qualification, is that they have to be kosher animals of alot meim, but not non-kosher animals. Balkol karvu olot, and everything that goes on the mizbeach is an ola. Vola shikriu Yisrael b'midbar. The olot that Bnei Yisrael brought in the midbar to una havshet v'nituach does require flaying and quartering. V'nachrim bizman hazeh rishaim lasot kein. And non-Jews today that don't have the restrictions against Bamot can use Bamot in the similar way that they were used prior to the Hakamat Mishkan by Bnei Yisrael. So Tanaei, my answer is Makloket Tanaim. The Tanya, we have a bright up. Gam Hakohanim Nigashim El Hashem Itkadashu. So it says there, when they're standing at the foot of Har Sinai, Hashem says a specific instruction to the Kohanim, that Gam Hakohanim Nigashim El Hashem Itkadashu. Even the Kohanim are coming close to Hashem. They need to sanctify themselves. That despite the fact that they normally do have greater access, over here they need a specific warning to tell them that they have to stay back and they need to keep their distance. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gachomer, Zo Prishut Bechorot. That is the segregation of the Kohanim, but the Kohanim here is a reference to the Bechorim. And the Bechorim were adying those that were doing the priestly service in the Mishkan or anything that was involved with Avodat Hashem. Therefore, they are commanded to segregate themselves in addition to that which was commanded to Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Omer, Zo Prishut Nadav Avihu, that the Kohanim Anigashim Al Hashem is a reference to Nadav and Avihu, which indicates that he believes that there was already a switchover to Nadav and Avihu being those Kohanim that were servicing at that point in time. The Bechorim had given up their jobs as the priest, and now it was moving over to Nadav and Avihu. That's similar to what we saw in the position of Rav Asi that was quoted before. So, according to one who says that, the explanation here is that Nadav and Avihu were given specific instructions to distance themselves from Har Sinai and warned not to get too close, because if you do get close, too close, penny froats by Hashem. Otherwise, there might be some fatality from coming too close to Hashem. So that is the explanation for why when they entered in on the Yom HaShmini and they brought the Eish Zara, where they came in too close, that they were punished with a death penalty, because who had their share Dibar Hashem. That's what Hashem already had said, Bekuvaya Kadesh. If you come too close, you're going to be quote-unquote sanctified, meaning that you're going to be caught up in that Kedusha, and you're going to die. Eldamandamar Zuprishut Bechorot, according to the one who says that the segregation over here was about the Bechorot, Heichen Remiza. Where is it that we had find that Nadav and Avihu were already told not to get too close? Dichtiv, because it says, V'no'adti Shem L'Bnei Yisrael, V'nikdash Bechvodi. Says, I will appear there to Bnei Yisrael and be sanctified in my honor. Al tikra Bechvodi, don't read it in my honor, Ela b'mechubadai, those that honor me, or those that are honorable. The Shita Mikubetzet in Ot Zayin brings an alternate girsa, Ela Bechvodai. In the end, it means the same thing as Mechubadai, but he just takes out the mem, so that way it fits into the lettering of the pasuk, rather than having to add a letter in order to read the Al tikri Ela. And therefore, there is an indication that when the Mishkan is put into service, and then Hashem appears there, that not that he will be sanctified through his presence and his honor being there, rather he will sanctify himself on that day that the Shekhinah comes, v'mechubadai, with those that are honorable, or those that are of stature, and that's a veiled reference to Nadav ben Avihu. But he didn't know what it meant until the Bnei Aaron died. Rashi claims over here what it means he didn't know. V'lo nir maz lavin mahu ad shemetu. He didn't understand the meaning of the pasuk until they actually died. Now then, the Baal Tosafot bring the midrash that he did know that the Mishkan would be nitkadesh ayudei somebody or an adam gadol on that day. He just didn't know who it was. He had supposed it would be either he or Aaron. He didn't realize it was going to be Nadav and Avihu. And that's what it means that Moshe didn't understand. And that's also quoted by Rashi and Chumash as the explanation for this pasuk, based on the Midrash Vayikra Abel. Kevin Shemetu Bnei Aaron, Amar Lo Aaron, Achi, Lo Metu Banecha, El Akdish, Moshe LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Then he understood the correlation between that pasuk according to Rashi and Nadav Ben Avihu, for the meaning of that pasuk. According to Baal Tosafot, he realized that it was about Nadav Ben Avihu and not anyone else. Kevin Shemetu Aaron, Shebanav Yudu E Makom Heim. Once Aaron realizes that his children are now considered to be those that know God or known by God, meaning that they are of an elevated status before Hashem. Shatak v'kivel sachar. He was silent and then got reward for that. Shnemar v'idom aharon. that everyone was then silent and accepted the din that was there. And Rashi brings over here the Midrash Rabbah that says, Mitoch kach zacha v'nityacheri lavadipur. From that shtika, he then got a communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him alone. Shenemar, because it says, Achrei oto inyan, right after the issue with Nadav and Avihu, in Parshat Shmini, it speaks about the restrictions of Kohanim entering Shtui Yayin. And over there it says that Hashem spoke to Aharon and not to Moshe. Although the Bali Tosafot do bring a midrash that seems to undermine that understanding, because the Sifrei in Parshat Korach says, Kashe diber Hashem biad Moshe, lo, halamadnu, you learn from this, shedibur the Moshe, shilmar the Aharon. And whenever it says that Hashem spoke to Aharon, it doesn't mean he spoke directly to Aharon, but rather he spoke to Moshe in order to convey it to Aharon. But maybe in this case, it's different, because here the Parsha was directed to Aharon and spoken to Aharon. It wasn't something to be conveyed further on to other people. And maybe in that instance it was Nityalche de Dibur le Aharon. V'chein v'David omer, Dom l'Hashem v'itcholel lo. Which is, Dom l'Hashem, that one should be silent for Hashem, awaiting, v'itcholel lo, and wait longingly for Him, meaning that His expectations that He will bring you that salvation in the end, despite all the bad or all the difficulties that are transpiring at this time. And the Chazal interpret this to mean, Afavishim epilecha chalalim chalalim. Even though there are many corpses building up around you, meaning that those that are close to you are passing away, at shtok, you should remain silent and accept the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or accept that whatever Hashem is doing is gamze l'tova, or is an indication of His will, and that we must accept His will. Chemish lomo humer, et lachashot ve'et ledaber. That there is a time to be silent, and there is a time to speak. Indicating that there are times when you're not supposed to speak up, and the Gemara here is connecting that with the other two memorot that they brought before, that sometimes Kabbalat HaDin requires silence rather than an active engagement. And that's what the Gemara says here, Pamim Shoshotei Kabel Skar HaShtika, and you get reward for that silence. Pamim Shmedaber Umekabel Skar HaDibur, and sometimes you speak up, and you get reward for speaking up. What is meant in the Pasuk in Tehillim? Nora Elukim mi Mikdashecha. The awesomeness of God's presence emanates from His sanctuary. Al tikre mi Mikdashecha, ele mi Mikudashecha. Don't read it that it's coming from the sanctuary, but rather from those that are sanctified. B'shash oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu din b'kedoshav. When Hashem takes out retribution, brings down justice to those that are holy and distinct, then it makes Himself feared, exalted, it elevates His standing, then umitalel, and brings praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then this would correlate back with that which we said about Nadav and Avihu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Nadav and Avihu. Moshe says to Aaron, umit banecha lakdish shemosh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the hakdasha of the shemosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He took retribution on them for some infraction. And then the Midrashim bring numerous indications as to what the infraction is, because it's not explicit in the Pasuk. And the Rishonim argue, based on those Midrashim, as to what exactly was the infraction of Nadav v'Avihu. Whatever that small infraction was, it ended in them dying, which is something that is a Kiddush Hashem, because of their elevated status, they were punished immediately and severely. So Gemara says, okay, now you solve the problem in terms of the issue of whether they Kohanim took over at Har Sinai, or they took over at the Mishkan. Now we have a bright that has a source for the fact that Ravasi's statement that the Bechorim switched over to the Kohanim at Har Sinai. Ela Kasha Ola. You still have the problem that the bright that says there was Hefshei Benituach in the Olot before the Mishkan, and yet we have Rav Adar Bar Abba suggesting otherwise. Where it says, Tanaihi, that's also Machloket Tanaim, which is the Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Mer Klalot, Nemnu B'Sinai. Upratot Bo'omoed. Shmuel says that the general halachot were brought at Har Sinai, and then the pratot, the details, were given to Moshe in the Omoed. So implying that those dinim that we find in Vayikra that are said in the Omoed were not yet given at Har Sinai. And this is according to the one who says that the Korbanot was brought already from the time that they were at Mamat Har Sinai, and also the Olot that we just saw in Parshat Mishpatim, which according to Rashi took place before Mamat Har Sinai as well. Those all took place before we had the instructions in the Ol Moed. And so therefore, they didn't have a din of Hefshei B'Nituach. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kalot Pratot Nemru B'Sinai, both the general items and the Pratim and the details were given at Har Sinai, V'Nishnu B'Ol Moed, and then they were reviewed again in Ol Moed, V'Nishtalshu B'Arvot Moav, And then they were told over a third time in Sefer Devarim, when Moshe does Mishneh Torah, he reviews the entire Torah. But according to Rabbi Akiva, all that was said in Ol Moed was already given at Har Sinai. And this actually relates to a machlok between Rashi and the Ramban as to how to understand the Midrash Chachamim at the beginning of Parshat Behar, that the Midrash that Rashi quotes over there, that just like all the dinim of Shemitah were given Behar Sinai, so too all the dinim were given Kalotehem, Britehem, Bisinai. And so the question is, how do you understand that? And that machlok between Rashi and the Ramban revolve partly around this understanding of the machloket here between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines from the bottom of Kuf Tet Vav Amud Bet.